This is Focus on Domestic Violence, a public affairs presentation. I'm David Pike, Executive Director of Mitchell County Safe Place.
And I'm Samantha Phipps, Executive Director of the Family Violence Coalition in Yancey County.
This is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and part of our series is to talk with Jessie Kroon. We were talking about her story last week, and she told us about a whirlwind romance that she had as a young woman, and we'll continue that story from here. You were in the Navy and had met this charming young man, and tell us what happened from there.
Well, he decided that we were going to get married, and he resigned his commission as an officer and planned the whole wedding. He bought the dress, paid for the shoes, picked out china, all of it. He did every bit of it.
Well, that's a little unusual for a man to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's usually the woman's job.
Exactly. You know, and most men, and I thought that he loved me because most men wouldn't do tedious stuff like that. That's
right.
Some tedious stuff.
More control, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't see any of those signs at that point, right?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't start seeing signs until the third day into the marriage when he hit me. He slapped me because I had made a comment that didn't necessarily agree with what he had said. And he hit me, and then he said, "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I never should have done that. It'll never happen again. But if you wouldn't say things like that, I wouldn't have to worry about this."
Now, so far, we've seen part of what we call the cycle of violence. We've seen we term the honeymoon phase, where everything is hunky-dory and life is just great. We start seeing some verbal and mental abuse, right? He was putting you down and calling you names, and that sort of started about that time, didn't it?
Well, right after we got back off the honeymoon.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we progressed to violence. And then what happens after the violence?
Well, he was just extremely, you know, sorry that it had even happened. It was never going to happen again. Things were going to change, but it was my fault.
Right.
And so I started thinking, well, if I'm very cautious about the things that I say and things, then I won't ever have to worry about him hitting me again.
Right. So you see this cycle is going to start over and over again. It repeated many times, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And by the time we got home, things totally changed. Like, where before I was the love of his life, I was now this worthless, stupid, ignorant human being that just wasn't good without him, that I should be very thankful that he married me because nobody else would. And then, of course, the slap that was never supposed to happen again happened again. It happened real subtly at first. It was shoves against a wall, and then it was pushes, and then it was slaps, and then the punches started. And every time, he was very, very sorry. It was never going to happen again, and he turned around and became that same man that I had fallen in love with before I married him. I say it's crazy making at its finest. Every time it was my fault, so I tried harder and harder and harder to be what he wanted me to be so I didn't have to worry about him doing this again.
And probably part of you thought that you really were at fault in causing this to happen to you, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You hear it long enough and you can't help but start to believe it. And so I tried to be this perfect human being, and there was no way that I could be as perfect as he wanted me to be.
And I think shortly thereafter, you folks moved away from where your family was and his family was.
Yeah, we had a choice to make as to where we were going to move, and he pretty much made the choice for me. He decided that we were, he bought a house, he furnished the house, he hired some help and took care of everything, and then informed me after all of this that it was time for us to go. And so I moved to the Midwest with him where his family was.
And you had no support at from your family, from where you moved. Your family and friends were elsewhere.
Yeah, my family was seven states away, and I was totally isolated. I knew absolutely no one.
And that's pretty typical, I think, of the pattern. And we see that all the time, where the abuser will try to isolate the victim so that she doesn't have a support system. He's her only means of support, only means of any kind of nurture or care. And so when anything bad happens, you have no recourse. You have nobody to turn to for help, do you?
No, I don't. No, I didn't then, and that's the way that it is still now for others.
Okay. Well, we're at the end of this segment of our show, and we'll continue our story here next week.
David, one more thing that I wanted to point out, since October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I wanted to remind folks that on Thursday, October the 18th, the Family Violence Coalition is having a candlelight vigil in the square starting at 6 and lasting till about 7. We will provide the candles, and feel free to come out if you're a survivor of domestic violence, sexual assault, childhood abuse, or if you're the loved one of someone who has experienced any of the above. Please feel free to join us on the 18th. Thank you.
Give us a phone number.
Please call us on our crisis line at 682-0056.
And in Mitchell County, you can call us at Safe Place 765-4011. I want to thank everybody for listening, and remember that stopping domestic violence begins with who? It begins with me and you.